And that's not all. Buy today and we'll send you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's May 1st, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
Here's something.
All right.
I went to Daytona this week, Daytona Beach, and played in a World Series of Poker Satellite.
Did you drive your Harley Davidson up there?
I did. We drove on the beach.
Did the whole bike week thing?
Did the whole bike week thing. It was awesome. But so I go over there, and I got this awesome hand that I want to tell you about. I'm going to tell you about the hand, and then I got a little something to follow up with, okay?
All right.
So this guy on my right, kind of a limpy limp kind of guy, kind of a real passive, weak kind of player.
Just like me.
Yeah, just like you. That's what I felt like. That's what I did. I envisioned you sitting next to me. So the blinds are pretty decent. I think it's 2-4 at this point. 200, 400, right? No ante yet because we started with 15,000 chips. I was at about 16,000 at this point. He was at about 16,000. We were about equal. And no antes yet because they started at 100, 200. So it was like the second or third level.
All right.
So under the gun, he's under the gun plus like two or three. And he makes it 3X. So I said, well, this guy, you know, I have a feeling because he's further down here, he's probably playing a weaker hand. Let me see what I have. And I have ace-jack of diamonds. So I figured, all right, I got position on this guy. And it looked to me, first of all, the guys in the blinds behind me were very weak. And they folded a lot. They were tight. And the guy to my left looked like he was folding. So I said, I'm just going to call here and see if I can see a flop with this. And sure enough, we're heads up. I have ace-jack of diamonds. I have no idea what this guy has, okay?
All the way with an A and a J.
Yeah, because I was thinking of Blasman, too. So the flop comes 9 of diamonds, 10 of diamonds, 2 of clubs.
All right.
Okay? So now I'm thinking, all right, I have, he made it like 1,200. So I have like maybe 14,000 or so, 14,500 left. So now he bets out about the size of the pot. I'm sorry. He bet out like 1,600. Okay, that's what it was. About a little more than half the pot, maybe.
All right.
So now I'm thinking to myself, do I raise here or do I just call and try to, you know, make my flush for cheap? And then, because, I mean, that's, you're thinking about, you know, I already betting a 16th of my stack, a 10th of my stack, whatever it is. So I don't, if I re-raise the guy, I got to make it like 4,500. I only have 14,000. So I'm just going to call here, right? So I don't know if I'm, I don't know if I'm playing the hand right yet or not, but I don't really care. So I call, all right? The turn is not a diamond, but it is a king of hearts. So now I have nut straight draw, nut flush draw, and still one over. Okay.
Right.
Now he bets again the same amount, like 1,600. So I'm like, all right, there's, you know, 32 plus the razor, you know, so there's like $6,000 in the pot now. So I'm getting pretty good pot odds here. I could raise, but if I raise and he shoves, then I'm at a decision with only one card to come. So I call again, all right? Now, I'm not playing passively here. I'm just thinking that I have all these outs, and I don't think this guy has that strong of a hand. All right, well, the river's a jack.
All right.
So I hit my jack, all right?
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So I'm thinking, all right, any queen beats me, any king beats me, right? And then all kinds of straight cards can still beat me. So I'm like, what the hell do I do? So now he checks. So I'm like, all right, this guy had like, you know, a small pair, like eights, tried to beat me, whatever. So I'm like, all right, I got to represent the queen and just bet here. So I bet 3,700 on the end after he checks to me. And he puts me through the ringer, Scott. I'm like waiting for, and he's like, I wanted to call a clock on the guy, right? Finally, he goes, I call. And he shoves it, and I go, well, I guess you got me beat, and I turn over ace-jack, and the most wonderful pause in the world came over me as this guy just sat there and stared at it and then took his cards, flipped them over, and slammed them on the table and goes, you got me on the river! And he had the Cosenza. He had flopped top-top, right? Ace-10. He raised under the gun with ace-10 and made a pair. So I'm like, he says, and he's going on, how do you call with, how do you call me there with, and I said, I got the nut on both, I got nut straights and nut flush draws. I said, how do I call? I said, I should have raised your ass. So we're going at it back and forth, and he was steaming, right? And I'm like, dude, relax, calm down. He wouldn't talk to me for like an hour, right? Finally, when he won a couple of pots, he started talking to me. He's like, yeah, I guess I could see your point for playing the hand the way you did. And I'm like, dude. So anyway, it was a good trip. You know, Tiffany Michelle was there. I interviewed her. We're going to have that interview on a later show. And yep. I went pretty deep, but I was really card dead. I mean, it was remarkable how card dead I was. I mean, I had my wife there with me. She was taking photos and stuff for the magazine. And I was letting her, like, sweat my cards. And she couldn't believe it. Deuce 7. Jack 4. You know, I mean, 2-9. 2-9. 2-9. 2-9. It was horrible. So I really couldn't do anything. I tried a couple of times to make some moves. Once or twice it worked, but one time it didn't. It crippled me, and I went out. So I went out halfway. It was like 150 people there. I went out like in high 60s, low 70s. So, but I wanted to bring this up. Did you notice that this was a poker story, Scott?
It did sound
did
like
you
a
notice
poker story, yes.
That it was a poker story? I vote for a moratorium on the non-poker Scott stories that always seem to start the show. Telling us stories about people calling you racists and parking garages, and yeah, they're funny, but they're not poker. So I think we need to do a poll with the NEF Nation. Do we want non-poker stories?
All right, you put that poll out. You're going down, big guy.
I know. I like to set myself up because
I bring the funny.
I bring the funny. Get yourself some clean. I'll never forget that line. We were first starting out, and you were sitting next to the smelly guys. But see, back then, that was a poker story. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like, all right, anything funny happens to Scott, he's going to tell us about it.
No, like, but the racist story was tied to the sexist story, which was actually at a poker table.
And the anti-Semitic.
It all comes back to poker somehow.
All right, somehow yes. it all comes back. All right, so we may put the poll up, we may not. I don't want to.
Oh, I'm sure somebody will put that poll up.
You know, I experienced defeat enough, so, you know, I'm probably going to lose this one, too. But, my God, I mean, how many times are you going to tell me about, oh, Chris, you know, I went to the mailbox and there was a snake there. And I'm like, what does that have to do with poker, man? All right. So, anyway, last night we played in a free roll.
Yes. This does have something to do with poker, right?
And, 459 people showed up, of which three of them were from the Antioch Nation.
Probably. Maybe four.
You know, you got in. You got crippled. You got out early. I said, all right, Scott's out. I got pocket queens. I'm going all the way with him. Somebody had aces, and I was gone, too, right after you, so I was done.
Yeah, I guess there's not much more to say, right?
That's all I got to say. a lot of people were playing, getting out early, were drunk, and a lot of people were, complaining, and, you know, we don't want to hurt. So we did have a clip, though.
Yep.
It comes from John. Let's just listen to it.
Hey, Chris and Scott. This is John from New Jersey. Just wanted to let you guys know I just got knocked out of the free roll for the Limit Hold'em tournament. I wanted to tell you guys about a little run of hands I had. I literally had king-king, next hand queen-queen, next hand jack-jack, next hand ace-king. The next hand I folded, and then the next hand I had ace-king again. So out of the six hands, I played five of them, and I won, obviously, not obviously, but I won all five, primarily against one of the Southern Hemisphere contingent. And at the time, he had about 8,000 chips, and I wound up knocking him out, taking all his chips, which was huge at that point. But I wanted to let you know that he then proceeded to go on a little tirade and berate me in Portuguese, and at the end called me a puta. Scott, I know you got called a racist and a sexist, but I don't know if you were ever called a whore. So I just want to let you guys know that thanks to you, I'm now called the Lady of the Night. And by the way, I got knocked out 57th, so I didn't even get my seat after all that.
Well, that's not nice.
That is not nice.
Unless John really is.
Yeah, I mean, you got
he didn't say.
Yeah, he didn't say he was or he wasn't.
Yeah,
but he just said he's called that. So
yeah, it's just
he's not denying it. all right, so anyway, in case you want to be called a whore yourself, try to show up for our next real event. It's the Apes Limit Hold'em. event number 4, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on May 13th. $5 plus 50 cents, unless you're one of the fortunate Brazilians who got in.
And all those details are at AmiUpMagazine.com/apes, spelled A-I-P-S.
Now, from one mean person who speaks Portuguese to one really nice one. Remember last week we were saying,
very nice.
We know we have Portuguese people who speak Portuguese or whatever who listen to the show or are involved with apes now somehow. But do we have any fans in Portugal? Well, sure enough, we got a fan of Portugal. He says, yes, you have listeners from Portugal with a little smiley face. You're doing a good job with the podcast, so please continue. Unfortunately, he can't play apes because of the hours. You know, he's over there in Portugal.
Hey, but Blanc played last night. He got up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear any
Blanc
of this.
In the Netherlands.
You can play in it if you want.
But you know what, though? The person's name is, I want you to try to pronounce it. It's right here. Who sent us the email from the other corner of the world?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Very close.
Yes, yes.
All right, so I'm looking at it, and I'm like...
But not close enough, right?
I'm like, it's J-O-A, and then it's got that really, really... squirrely, squiggly line over the A, which the
really
tilde
cool.
or whatever
gonna,
the hell
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I'm going to add one of those to my name.
So you said Joaquin Phoenix. I said Jiao or Jiao. Or, I'm not sure. But you know what? I found the pronunciation of how to pronounce it. So
excellent.
Let's give it a listen right now.
João. João. João.
So I still, even though I heard the pronunciation and like I heard it a million times, I still can't make my mouth say that. That way, the way it's said.
Yeah,
Jiao. I can't even say it.
Yeah. I wouldn't even try. As much as the nation wants to see me just crash and burn on yet another pronunciation.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we appreciate that corner of the world contacting us, and now we're going to be contacting another corner of the world.
Exactly, and we want to take as many of the nation along with us on the Antioch Poker Cruise.
I'm looking forward to it. It's getting bigger and better. Yes, I am.
Well, you're looking forward to the actual event. You're not looking forward to actually being on a cruise.
Yeah, no, I'm not looking forward to... Although, we did go and see the boat.
We did?
And it's a much nicer than the other Carnival boat that I was on, because I was on the Miracle. This is the Inspiration. And believe me, it is inspiring. But, you know, you would think that a Miracle would be more impressive than an Inspiration.
No, Miracle you got to, like, pray for, you know, Inspiration.
But if it happens,
come to see
it physically is a miracle. So, I mean, it's the miracle, so you would think, why is it a miracle?
It's true, it's already here.
But Inspiration, you know, it's kind of, you know, inspired to be a miracle.
I believe we're off topic.
All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's stick to poker.
There's no poker in
stick
what
poker.
We're talking about.
So, anyway, we saw the boat, lovely boat, bigger boat. We saw where we're going to have our poker room, massive conference room.
Very nice room.
Plenty of tables are going to fit in there, and we got some details for to share, so why don't you start us off?
All right, well, first of all, we're happy to announce that Jody Russell will be running our room. Jody, for folks who live in the Tampa Bay area, will remember him. He used to be the director of poker operations at Lucky's Card Room at Tampa Greyhound Track.
Yep.
He's also been a dealer on a lot of these poker cruises, so he knows what he's doing, and he's bringing along his lovely fiance, Cassie Green, and she's also been a veteran of both the land-based poker rooms and cruises, poker cruises. So together, they are going to put together our entire poker program, hire all of our great dealers, and they're excited, we're excited. It's going to be a really top-notch room.
Yeah, basically, they for a while there, they were just spending their lives on poker cruises, running them, playing in them. He's really good friends with Linda Johnson, who co-owns Card Player Cruises. So he knows how they work. He knows how to run them. He's run hers. He's been with her. He's played in theirs. So really a top-notch person. We couldn't have been happier with anyone else.
Yep, yep. We also have announced the list of games, and I don't want to go into all of them here because it's a lot, but go to our website at antiupmagazine.com/cruise, and you'll see the opening menu, I like to call it. Because once we get on board, obviously, if people want to play other things or different limits, we're going to play what people want to play.
Right.
But there's a good variety of no-limit games with big, big buy-ins, a lot better buy-ins than you get here in Florida, and some nice higher limit games and some stuff for the beginners to play as well too.
Yeah, like a spouse event. People who don't people are just coming with you, they don't really know how to play poker or they want to learn how to play poker. We're going to have like a beginner course thing with a small buy-in, and then once you get through there you have to take the course to be able to play in this small buy-in. And then maybe we'll have an event for them and stuff too. So a lot of stuff's coming out of these meetings that we're having, and but one big thing's coming up that we need to address, I think. You want to start with that, or you want me to talk about it?
Well, yeah, of course. We've been watching the news, and there's this little thing called the swine flu flying around. And you don't...
Sorry.
You know, into your arm, not into your hand. Come on, please. Listen to the president.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, so right now, obviously, it's in Mexico, but we've talked to Carnival, and right now they're rerouting all their Carnival ships, avoiding Mexico, going to other ports, so shouldn't be anything to worry about. And actually, the story I read today said it's kind of moving its way through Mexico now, so in a couple months, you're actually going to want to go to Mexico to get rid of it, away from it, from everywhere
else. Get away
from
around here. if you want to, we have a great rate. $359
That's right.
Per person based on double occupancy. And if you want to lock in that rate, though, people say, oh, it's an August cruise, end of August. We got to like August 3rd. No. If you want to save that price, you want to save the date, as they say, you're going to want to lock it up because the deadline for that rate is June 19th. Once again, that's June 19th if you want to get on the cruise with us and pay that nice cheap rate. You got a book through Mary Kolb at Go Travel Orlando. You want to give her phone number out?
Sure. It's 727-733-3498. Or you can email her at mkolb@gotravelorlando.com. And that's M-K-O-L-B as in boy at gotravelorlando.com. She's a great travel agent. She can answer any questions. And if you have any more poker questions, you can let us know, or we can actually put you in touch with Jody.
Yeah.
And you can tell us about the tournaments and the cash games and everything else that we're going to be doing on board. Going to be a heck of a lot of fun.
Well, in the meantime, you're taking another trip to Chicago. You know, I think this is great. I think that they're starting to recognize how important you are and how big of a name you are, and they're embracing that. And
let me tell you how big of a name I've become in Chicago, because we're going up there. We're going to main event charity games to set up a couple great tournaments for the Antiup Nation and some other folks. And this is all due to a lot of hard work from great Antiup National Chicago Joe up
Chicago
there.
Joe.
So a little shout out to them. But they actually put it on the mailing list, and the newsletter came out, and I was the top story in this month's newsletter, the April newsletter.
Put that on your resume, buddy.
And I know you're going to have some fun with this, because you had some fun with it yesterday. But here was the opening line. Scott Long, a well-known radio personality for Antiup Magazine and a solid poker player from Chicago, will be here, blah, blah, blah.
Here's the thing.
I'm adopted son of Chicago.
I have to take offense to this, okay? Because everyone knows that you, Scott Long, are not a solid poker player. All right? You're not from Chicago. You're
solid bones and solid,
solid waste is more like it. But listen, you are not from Chicago. Why do they think you're from Chicago?
Well, maybe because I go there so often.
I guess.
Carve my initials into the
You're bigger than the Chicago Fire, man. You're bigger than Al Capone. How could you be from Chicago? We all know you're an Ohio person.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they... Ohioans? What do they call it? I don't know.
Yes.
Ohioites?
Buckeyes. Yeah.
Buckeye. Whatever.
But we're all Midwesterns. We all share Midwestern pride, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. So I'll
well, it's not that you can't be proud.
At some point, Chicago and Ohio were all probably in the same...
All right, we're getting off topic.
Yeah.
Why don't we do the details for the...
All right, very quickly, you can go to maineventcharitygames.com, and you can actually sign up in advance, which they suggest. Chicago Joe also has a lot of details on our forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum. But very quickly, it'll be Saturday, May 16th at Chief O'Neill's on Chicago's north side. There's going to be a tournament at 2 o'clock called the Scott Long Poker Classic.
Classic.
$85 buy-in. I will not be there for the start of that, but I will be getting there about 5 o'clock, and we'll be happy to have dinner with folks that want to come out, and even if they want to play a tournament. And apparently, I get to hand out the trophy to the winner of the inaugural Scott Long Poker Classic.
You don't even get to play in your own damn tournament. How sad is that? It's like it should be a Scott Long Memorial Tournament.
I could, but then I have to skip the zoo, and I don't like to skip the zoo.
Skip the zoo.
But then at 7 p.m. is the Antiup Nation Poker Open, $150 buy-in. That's going to be the big one. I'll be playing in that.
Wow.
And then after that, I think we're all going to retire to Shy Guy Brian's house for a little home game action. But there'll be some side games at Chief O'Neill's as well, too. So come out and see me if you are in Chicago. We'd love to see it.
Like, I'm kind of laughing under my breath there because I'm looking at this Chief O'Neill's and I'm thinking that's actually a guy that we got to send swag to or something because the address is here. You know, I'm like, we're sending this guy? And then I'm like, Chicago's north side. That's an address? Where's the zip code? You know, I'm like, what the hell? All right. So anyway, let's tease to next week. Next week, finally... You and I are going to talk about the movie The Grand.
Yes.
A hilarious mockumentary with a huge cast Just a fantastic cast in this movie. And no one will ever do another Boker movie again.
I can't imagine.
For comedy's sake,
anything like this. Yep.
But we talked about it for a while, so we were going to do it a little while back, but then all this other good stuff came up. So definitely next week, unless something major happens, like Doyle Brunson dies and we have the whole...
Well, let's not be so negative.
Well, that whole bet
maybe
thing.
He comes to Tampa and he wants to talk.
Well, you know,
positive.
Even then, I think it would have to be, you know, all right. So, but next week, start watching The Grand this week so you guys can talk about the show with us or whatever. Because,
put it on your Netflix Express.
Yeah, it is a pretty damn funny movie. But I do want to mention this real quick because we were thinking about doing a show about this movie and it ain't happening. California Split.
Awesome movie.
The worst
movie
ever.
I love that movie.
All right, here's the thing. If I had known that it was just a movie about degenerate gamblers, I might have gone into it with a different eye. But you guys are like, oh, it's a poker movie. It's a great poker movie. You got to see it. So I go in there. They have one scene with poker in the beginning. And it was nice to see the old-time card rooms.
It was a great scene. You had to admit
it was a great scene. But one scene does not a movie make.
What about the throwing oranges on the escalator?
That was hilarious.
See?
But it wasn't poker.
Yeah, you got to loosen it up.
Eddie Murphy, Delirious, was hilarious, too. But it's not poker.
Saving Private Ryan was a great movie. It didn't have any poker in it, right?
Well, I thought it was a poker movie, so this is it. We will not be talking about that movie on this show ever again. But also, you and I rated our top five movies.
Yeah,
right. And we did a nice little story for the magazine, which will come out in our June issue. So everybody pay attention to that and look for that next month. You can only guess what Scott's number one is and what my number one is. But we mixed some other stuff in there, too, so we'll have some fun with that. All right, let's move on to our Andy Up News Desk.
Details of the California Online Poker Law Enforcement Compliance and Consumer Protection Act. Do you mind if I pause and catch my breath before I finish?
A real newsman would have gotten that.
Wow, that's a big name for a bill. Anyhow, it's a bill to regulate online gaming in California. It's been released, iGaming News reports. It seeks to protect gaming operators already licensed in the state while allowing them to expand online.
So you think Elliot Gould? Oh, never mind. I'm not talking about the California Split. Never mind. Just move on.
All right. The Minnesota Department of Public Safety has instructed 11 ISP providers to block access to 200 online gambling sites from Miami-based computers.
Miami. Minnesota-based.
Minnesota-based, yes. That would be really overstepping their bounds.
That's really powerful.
They're already overstepping their bounds. Now they're really going bad. Banning those sites from Minnesota-based computers. That's coming from the Star Tribune. But a legal expert later said the courts will be unlikely to enforce this order. And we'll give a special thanks out to Andy Up Newshound Father Paul Kamen for the heads up on this, even though we blew off apes last night to take the youth group to the Rays loss.
How dare he?
The Metrodome.
How dare he? Of course, right now he's on the treadmill running, and he's laughing. Don't fall. We need you later. We need to talk to you later.
But one more misguided attempt by a state to try to, come on.
Yeah.
At least do it the California way.
Yeah.
Embrace it. All right. Team PokerStars Pro Bertrand Elke Grospelli set a world record with $62.06.50 sit and goes on PokerStars.com on Tuesday.
That's sick.
According to PokerListings.com. It is very sick.
And he made a profit.
And that's it. And that was part of the deal. to be considered a record, he actually had to turn a profit. And he did $23.67. That'll go nicely with his other career winnings. He completed this record on four large monitors. And there's a great, great long video profiling Elke that's now on Annie Up's video vault at AnnieUpMagazine.com/video. So
awesome.
Take a look at that.
Awesome.
And then finally, Chris.
This one. I'm psyched!
Yeah, I know you like the TV on the TV on the poker, or the poker on the TV. So, new TV series from the folks who brought you Poker After Dark is set to debut August 1st in primetime, Chris.
Wow.
On NBC. Primetime.
I'm psyched.
Of course, primetime doesn't mean much on NBC now because, J-Lo has taken it over. But on primetime on NBC, this comes from Variety. It'll be hosted by Stephen Bobby Bacala Sharipa. Face the Ace.
That's the name of the show? Face the Ace.
Face the Ace pits online qualifiers against pro poker players in heads-up matches. So if a player wins the match, he or she can take the money and run.
Oh, cool.
And you know they won't.
Cool.
It's just like, that Howie Mandel show. Oh, no, we're going to go for it.
Yep.
Until they're all broke.
Yep.
But you can take the money and run. If you don't want, you can face another pro for more money. You beat all three pros, Chris. You walk away with a cool $1 million.
It's like pressure luck. No whammy. Stop!
Exactly.
Right? You just keep going, keep pressing your luck, and even when you're playing poker, you're like, all right, if I get even, I'm going to quit for the night, and then you just keep playing, and then when you do get even, you're like, all right, well, now I'm up, if I win one more hand. Same thing here. These guys win one, they're going to be greedy, they're going to want that $1 million.
Now, I wonder if you lose if Bobby Bacala whacks you.
Put you in the trunk.
Yeah.
That's classic.
But yeah, they've ordered 13 episodes, and they think they're going to get a reorder and might find out a nice, comfortable home on Saturday night when no one's home watching TV.
All right, I hear the hotline ringing. It's 813-448-1120. If we use your clip, Scott will send you something pretty. But this next one is close to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry J-Dog asks us about bluffing and Raz.
Hi, this is Jerry, J-Dog 1999, and I have a couple questions about Raz. First, when is a good time to bluff? Let's say that I have an ace up, but a couple of bad cards underneath. Should I consider raising to pick up the blinds and the antes? And secondly, it's kind of the reverse of that question. Let's say I have a king showing on the bring in, and one guy raises, get a couple callers, and my underneath cards are deuce four. Should I consider calling and taking off a card or two to see if I improve, or should I just go ahead and fold?
All right, you're the Raz expert, so I'll let you take this.
You know, it seems like we say this every couple of weeks, every couple of months, but everything depends, right? Everything depends on the players, on the boards, and everything, and it all depends on what cards are out, if your cards are out, if they're not out, that kind of thing. So I totally support bluffing in Raz. The whole point,
yes,
the
absolutely.
Whole point of Raz, it really, it seems, is just who has the scariest board. So if you got an ace, and you know, absolutely take advantage of it. But if you got a lot of people in the hand, then you shouldn't bluff. You know, but if you're, especially if you're heads up or even two, three handed, you know, next card peels. You know, if it looks like they can hit a paint or tens or nines and you make ace seven, you know, you're golden. So absolutely, it's like it's the game I bluff the most in, obviously. I don't bluff that often, but when I do, it's definitely Raz.
Well, you know, and here's the thing to keep in mind about bluffing in Raz, particularly on Third Street, is you've got two more cards to come before your hand improves. So, for example, let's say you have the king, and I've done that before, but it usually only heads up.
Yeah.
You know you got to get two more cards, because that guy, unless he pairs up, he's going to have you beat until till you catch up.
Yep.
So remember that. You're going to have to put a lot of money in on that bluff. It's not a single bluff. And then if you have the ace showing, if you get stubborn people sticking around, remember you're going to have to keep firing that bluff until you catch up.
Yeah.
So that's why it's kind of a tougher game, I think, to bluff in on Third Street. But it's all situational. So if you're in the right situation,
everything's situational, absolutely. But bluffing is a key part in the whole game. So, all right, you spin the wheel.
All right. J-Dog, you win a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from GreatPokerHands.com. Not sure how much they'll help you in Raz, but you'll get frustrated at Raz at some point, we're sure, because we
absolutely
all do, and you'll go back to Texas Hold'em, and you'll be happy that these strategy cards will be helping you.
And you're going to need them, too, because your mind's all discombobulated after playing Raz too much. So, all right, well, we got a mailbag letter here from Ed McDonald, and he wants to know about chopping early at a final table.
Yeah, he loaded up in the car with his buddy, and they drove up to Sam's Town in Tunica.
Ooh.
Yeah, Fast and I spent a lot of times coughing up a smoking lung there because it's a smoking casino.
I thought Sam's Town was Sarasota.
Very funny. But anyhow, Ed and his buddy went up. It was the first time playing in a brick-and-mortar casino, I believe, tournament.
Wow.
For sure. And they did quite well. They made it to the final table, and he was kind of surprised that as soon as they got to the final table, everybody started talking about a chop.
Hmm.
And he didn't think that was going to happen that early, and as standard protocol, they went around to every person at the table because it had to be unanimous, and he got to his friend, and he said no.
Hmm.
So apparently the locals went ballistic, Chris. And they started shouting at him using F-bombs and all kind of made him incredibly uncomfortable. They lost a couple players, and they finally decided to chop at 7. But Ed wants to know, is this a standard reaction when the prize money is reached? And he also wants us to suggest how we can handle this kind of situation.
Well, first of all, Ed, this goes out to your friend. Good for you! you know, hey, you drive all the way to Tunica, and you want to play in a tournament, and you get to the final table, and you want to try to win the big bucks, that's your prerogative, man. Go for it. You know, that's what I say. course, I'd be giving them F-bombs, too, because usually I'm short-stacked, and I'm there with, like, one bet left and would like to get some extra money. But, no, absolutely. First off, he absolutely 100% is in the right. You do not have to chop at the final table. Sure, the locals all, you know, they're all good old boy network used to saying, hey, let's just give each other the same amount of money. We'll keep running over these guys. But, no, screw that. If you want your friggin' money and want to play for more, that's what a tournament is, man. People should play into the end. I'm tired of these chops. Because no one ever chops with me.
Now, he wanted to have a standard reaction, and I said this to him, because the very first brick-and-mortar tournament I played was also Mississippi, not in Tunica. But I had the same thing, and what I realized is that it was just me and another tourist, and then everybody else were locals, and these guys every day came in, and yeah, that was kind of their agreement, is when they got to the final table, they'd chop and all get home in time for Matlock.
Yeah.
And me and this other guy ruined that whole thing, and I imagine that's what happened to Ed in here. But you're totally right. You know, you paid your money. If you want to play for the money, I don't care, you know, if they have to TiVo Batlock. That's too bad. They can get up and leave. They can dump your chips. You know, that's not your problem.
So then he asks another question about how would we handle it. To be honest, if it was me and I did not want to chop, I would just try to be as placating as possible without actually chopping, saying, you know what, guys, I came all this way. I want to play in this tournament, and, you know, I'm not that good of a player anyway. I'd say, you know, try to loosen them up a little bit and say, you know, you're probably going to knock me out anyway. You're going to have more money for yourselves anyway, and then you can do it. But really, or if I had a big stack, I'd be like, well, you know what, look at the size of my stack, look at the size of your stack. Why would I chop? Unless you're going to give me the winning percentage.
Right.
You know, and then, so it depends on where you are and where you stand, but really, I would, if you don't want to chop, don't chop.
Yeah, and that is what I was telling at this tournament. I went, I'm like, you know, hey, this is a big deal for me playing in this tournament.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry if it's messing up your TiVo, but that's the best
your
way to
TiVo.
Do.
All right, let's spin the wheel.
All right, well, these might be able to help you chop. You won a lovely selection of cut cards from Copag, a DB dealer, and I think there's a couple other ones we threw in there. Obviously, it's your first time in a brick-and-mortar tournament, which means you probably have a very vivacious home game. So maybe these will come in handy. And if not, I may help you scrape the windows in the early morning.
From PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery. The Case of the Escaping Bullet. We are playing mixed games online, and it's the No Limit Hold'em round. We have six seated at the table. We're doing all right. Not great, but okay.
Not to get off the subject.
The first two players fold, and we are staring down at 9 of spades, 10 of spades. Suited connectors play strangely shorthanded, as the implied odds are always nebulous. I'm going to play this like any two cards and simply raise because I'm first to act to the pot. I make it 3x big blind, and the button and the small blind call.
You guys looking for something?
The flop comes 6 of hearts, 7 of diamonds, 9 of clubs. Top pair on a straight draw board. I'm going to C-bet here. The pot is 10 big blinds, and I bet half the pot or 5 big bets. The button calls, but the small blind check raises to 16 bets. Now, it's 9 bets to win 36, and the button may come along making it 5-1 odds, but it's always dangerous to call with a player left to act, but it's certainly worth thinking about it. What do you want to do?
Well, what would you do here? Because you got top pair, you don't have a great kicker, you represent his strength, and you got a guy behind you still to act. What exactly would you do?
It is the player behind me left to act that does concern me.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I feel I could be behind the small blind. He's obviously showing a lot more pressure here. But you're right. That player behind you really kind of messes up this whole equation.
Plus the check raise. What is he check raising with? A set? It might be a set, hoping that you have aces when you raise preflop, and then now he's got you trapped. So it may not even be the person behind me. It might be the check raiser that's scaring me. So I can lay this hand down. Can you lay this hand down?
Yeah.
I laid it down in a home game that way.
Yeah,
for cash.
I can too. I'm not saying I would, but I think I could. And that's probably where I'd end up, just because, again, we don't know if I knew more about this guy behind us. But that's what's scary. If he reopens the betting, then we're screwed.
Okay, well, I also wonder, too, about the title, real quick. Case of Escaping Bullet.
Yes.
Does that mean somebody's got ace 9, a bullet, and you're escaping the bullet? I don't know. But anyway.
It's a one-minute mystery to Sherlock Holmes. One-minute mystery.
Don't you ever get tired?
Tired of constantly getting the red carpet treatment?
Good evening.
Tired of having all your worries taken care of and knowing that there's a place reserved for you?
Right this way, sir.
Of course you don't. That's why you join PokerStars. After all, our VIP club awards over $3.6 million worth of major on- and offline tournament entries every month. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out more about why other reward schemes just don't open as many doors. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Whether you are a first-timer or a seasoned pro, this is the best year ever to come to the World Series of Poker.
All right, well, if you heard that clip, that was Jeffrey Pollack, the commissioner of the World Series of Poker, during the World Series of Poker press conference call kind of thing, kind of announcing all the changes and all the big things that are happening. And
it's always kind of a bittersweet annual thing for us. It's cool to hear what's going on, and they do a really good job with this conference call. You phone in, but the problem is that you can ask questions. And sadly, a lot of our fellow media people actually take that offer.
Yeah, and ask the worst questions ever.
It was a lot more fun last year when we were both in the room together and we could see each other's pain on our face. This year, I just had to imagine that you're going through the agony that I was.
Could you tell me, what's the impact if a woman wins the World Series? Why are you asking that question to these guys? And who cares?
But anyhow, lots of good information came out of it, though, and we want to kind of help you summarize it. And we'll try to move as quickly as can because there's a lot of stuff. But again, it's the 40th World Series of Poker, so they're doing a lot of big 40th anniversary blowouts. It runs May 26th through July 15th. And of course, then they're going to bring back the final nine of the main event to finish it up in November.
Again. Yep.
All right, so very quickly, here we go. Tournaments. 57 of them this year, Chris.
Jeez.
57.
Jeez.
That's a lot.
Man.
That's a lot.
That's almost 60.
It's almost 60. Some of the highlights, which we knew before, they are introducing a $40,000 buy-in, no limit, hold-em tournament. Remember, again, it's the 40th anniversary, huh?
Yeah.
40.
Perfect for a struggling economy.
Yes, exactly. $40,000. So, tell the wife, hey, sorry. I know you wanted to sell the house and pocket the money, but that's got to go to my buy-in.
Yeah, we're gonna have to pay some capital gains taxes this month because we're selling the house and keeping the money to enter this event.
So that's a big event, but here's one that I don't believe was announced until the press conference, but they are going to do something called the Champions Invitational, and they've invited all the past main event champions that are still roaming the earth to come back and face off together in a special tournament, and the winner will get a restored classic Corvette. And also the brand new Binion Cup, which is going to be presented by Jack Binion himself.
That's very interesting, because I know that there was some bitterness there about having to sell the Harrah's and all that. Now they're bringing them back, so I find that that's pretty classy. I think that they're all, on both sides, are pretty classy.
Well, yeah, the history, too, is that really the problem was Jack with his sister, who really ruined the company.
Yeah.
But Jack has always been, I think, fairly friendly with Harrah's. But it's a great way, 40th anniversary, and now they're bringing some history back and bringing the guy who was part of it. So.
Well, here's the thing, though. I remember Pollack said, it'll have a final table for the ages, But really, I mean...
That was actually the 40,000.
Was that... No, was it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, because I was thinking at this Champions thing, like, you need to get, like, Noel Furlong at the final table. Who cares? You know what I mean? And, eventually, it's just a three-table tournament, really. There's only 27 people alive left, So you're talking a three-table sit-and-go turbo. God, the first tournament I ever played, I played in a turbo 30 players. How hard is that?
And you probably refused to chop at the final table.
I did, because I won it. I didn't chop. I won it. The guy didn't bring it up. He thought he was going to outplay me, and I kicked his ass.
But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, it's a good gesture to throw out there.
Yeah, I like it.
Now, also, from the $40,000 all the way down to the $1,000 stimulus special, which already people knew about. And in fact, so many people knew about it that they say that pre-registration is already close to $1,000 right now, and they're expecting 5,000 to 6,000 people for the cheapest tournament.
Let me ask you, what exactly is this tournament supposed to stimulate? I mean, stimulate. I don't understand. What stimulate what? What's it stimulating?
Well,
it's not stimulating the economy.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say you're going to want to. You're obviously, if you go out the World Series, you're going to want to get in this 40,000.
Oh yeah,
that's
obviously,
a given.
Obviously,
it's a given, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the World Series main event is a big one. So that's 40,000 plus 10. That's 50,000, right?
Yeah.
All right. Of course, the horse is what everybody's talking about.
Right, right.
And that's 50,000. So put that together. So that's 100,000. All right. So once you got 100,000 invested in this, plus the $43 for your week at the IP.
At the IP.
You know, what's another 1,000? To face off against 6,000 people.
But again, it doesn't stimulate anything.
All right, of course, we talked earlier, no rebuy events this year. They're trying to make it a little more competitive and not just the person who can peel off the most bends. but what they've done is that they're calling them kind of an add-on events, and this is for a couple different events this year. Some of them, they said mostly the ones that have some volatility to them, like Potlum and Omaha and stuff.
Right, right.
You're going to get one-third of your starting stack to begin with, plus two little add-on coins or chips.
Right, we talked about this, right, before.
Yeah. And you can cash in those coins whenever you want, and if you get to the end of the add-on period and you haven't, then go ahead and cash them in, you get them in then.
Yeah, again, this is just a rebuy tournament disguised as an add-on. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. It's a little different, and I kind of like the idea. I don't know whether it'll take off. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
But, you know, for folks like me that like to take a chance, and it's probably better than the rebuy tournament because now I know my whole outlay is out, right? And I could take that chance on that.
You can't change your mind either. It's like you're going to have to play three stacks here at some point. So in that instance, it's not the same as a rebuy. But
it's some strategy, too. There's nothing to say that you can't cash those chips in right away and start with a big stack, which I know some aggressive players like to do.
You put a dress and some lipstick on a dog, it's still a dog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's all I got to say about this one. But
all right, let's move on to the structures this year. The big announcement was starting chips this year are going to be three times the buy-in. So in that $1,000 stimulus special, you're going to be starting with 3,000 in chips. And that horse tournament, you'll be starting with 150,000 in chips. And that will probably go on past the November 9 final.
I got to tell you, too, it depends on the structure, which I know we're going to get into a little bit here. But really, I mean, it depends on the structure if this is going to mean anything. But it could mean significant play. And if that's true, look for another year of pros just cranking with the titles this year.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, we both played in World Series events a couple of years ago. And, you know, we started with 1,500 chips, 1,000 chips.
I started with 3,000.
Oh, okay.
It was double. Remember, they doubled them that year.
Yeah, true. But, you know, in these local tournaments, I go to a local tournament for $40 and get 10,000 in chips. So it's really tough to put that kind of money out and know you have 1,500 or something.
Yeah.
So at least they're trying something.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the obvious question was, well, if you're giving them a lot of chips, are you going to scale back the structures and make it faster? And they said no. In fact, they've actually added some levels to the tournaments and usually to the front of the tournaments when people need the most help.
Yeah, that's great because that's when they don't do it and they try to get you out early and then you slow down play. They'll change the times of the limits and everything. So that's pretty cool that they're doing it early on. So you're going to get more chips and more play. And that's pretty good. You're going to get value. Value added. See, now this is a stimulus.
Yes,
this
exactly.
They call this stimulus, this whole package here.
And, of course, you know, it might lengthen play a little bit, so there are some questions asked about that. In fact, they actually added a day of play to the main event to kind of suck up that time. But obviously, probably some of the other events may go a little longer. But, you know, hey, that's what you want.
Yep.
Right? And then finally, they've hired a Washington and Lee University professor to help devise a better payout formula. Way too complicated for us to explain.
We can't explain your pod odds. We're not going to explain this. So we got. I pulled the clip from the actual conference. So
from Jack Elf.
Yeah, let's take a listen to this.
I've been working with a professor out of Washington Lee University on a new constraint optimization that's going to help us solve the payout situation for the WSOP. The payouts are very complex. We want to ensure that the players at the final table are rewarded for their play. The guys in the middle of the pack get a very nice payday, and the people at the bottom make between 1.75 and 2 times the buy-in. In addition to that, we want to pay more places, but what we really want to try to do is keep the 10% of the field going, whether it's at the start of the range of payouts or the end of the range of the payouts.
You know, Washington Lee was one of the schools I visited when I was looking for college.
Never heard of it.
They were a little too snooty for me, though.
Never heard of it.
They wanted me to speak French or something. I can't even master English, so thank you.
Never heard of it.
But, you know, payout formulas are good, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything seems to be improving, and that's all, I think, on Pollock. And and picking people like Howard Lederer to help you with the structures and things like that. It's just really it's really good for him, a feather in his cap.
All right, our fellow media people, this is like a dog with a bone, this next section. They just couldn't get ask enough questions about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, to Pollock and then the rest of the crew credit, this is a big announcement for them, too. Well, a couple things on the rules. They've officially put the player conduct policy into the rule book. I don't know what that means, that you can't be smelly. but probably.
I hope everybody remembers that.
Smelly.
It's a funny joke. I just hope everyone remembers who we're talking about.
It's a great way to show for the people that do remember.
It was awesome.
Also, all penalties and warnings will be kept in a written log.
Yeah.
So when Cosenza blows up about some idiot next to him scooping his stack, and you get a penalty, they're going to write it down.
All I want to know is, will they put the dealer in the log, too? Because the guy said I was shit out of luck. And I'm not happy about that.
And get this, the floor people will be carrying little radios this year.
Awesome.
So when they get to the table and they see a situation, they will radio back into penalty headquarters. And they'll have be able to call up your record and find out how many warnings and stuff you've been given so they can dole out the proper punishment to you in real time.
That is awesome. I mean, you know, it's like now you're going to be held accountable because these places are so massive.
Yeah,
you could be playing at table 329 and then table 5 an hour later and do the same thing you did at 329 and table 5 and no one would ever know because it's another whole world over there. Now, boom, now you've had two infractions, pal. You're gone,
yep.
You know, or whatever it is. So that's a brilliant idea, finally.
Absolutely. We'll see how much it slows it down, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
And they've added a couple new penalties, too, because they mentioned that, you know, they had, like, warnings, and then they scooped all the way up to, like, a one-round penalty, and they need something in between. So they've actually added a one-hand penalty. Ooh, I'm shaking. But I think a lot of us were curious about it. So our good friend Nick Sordo from the Sun Sentinel down in South Florida actually asked a question about it. So let's listen to that.
Can you give me an example of what a one-hand penalty would what you would have to do to get a one-hand penalty?
Well, you know, it depends. You know, you could be, you might get a warning because we feel that you're new to the World Series of Poker, you've never played in an event, and let's say you act out of turn. Here's a good example. Let's say you act out of turn, and it wasn't your turn, you threw your cards in, it gave the player behind you information, and now they're going to call when they would have folded because they didn't know what you were going to do. So let's say you're a new player to the game. In past, you know, I'd have just given you a warning. Well, now, let's say that you're a known player, a player that I know that plays a lot of tournaments and knows the rules. I'm probably going to give you a one-hand penalty at that point. The whole key to having this whole penalty system is to have a wide range of tools to work with based on the situation that occurs.
Now, you know what would make this really cool is if Harrah's in the World Series got to pick the hand that you sat out.
Oh, yes.
So they look at the cards and go, no, you can play this one. No, you can play this one. And then it gets aces. No, you got to sit this one out. Oh, that would be hilarious.
Or maybe they could spin a swag wheel, and it depends what hand you're going to sit out. Oh, sorry, you lose your big blind.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That would be fun. We'll ask that next year on the
Yeah, I'm gonna, that's what we're going to do. All right, finally we have a question worth asking.
And then finally, Jeffrey Pollock made it clear, as he was tweeting from the WSOP conference call and saying the World Series is going to have two official Twitter feeds, he also wanted to let you know, oh, by the way, you can't Twitter at the table when you're playing.
And their Twitter account is WSO Poker.
Yes, that's
just
weird.
So,
yeah. Instead of WSO. Yeah.
And so somebody probably has WSOP Poker or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, they have WSO Poker in case you want to follow them on Twitter. And Conway Twitty always comes to mind when I hear you guys say Twitter. And then when they say tweeting or whatever, I think of the little yellow birds. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, and I actually started twittering on our account at Magazine halfway through it. So that was kind of my first live event tweetering. And, you know, I didn't get any reaction. So
maybe
I just wasn't doing it right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll figure it out.
All right, now let's move on to what I think will be the best part of today's show. Let's talk about the television coverage of this year's World Series of Poker. We'll let Jeffrey Pollock
break the ice.
From our standpoint, and I think ESPN's standpoint, it's fair to say that we've learned that games other than No Limit Hold'em do not draw a significant audience on television, and that is in part why you're going to hear some of the events that you're about to hear.
Are you telling me that you can't even get Pot Limit Omaha ratings? I mean, the horse event? Are you telling me that the horse event isn't going to be watched? Give me a break. I want the numbers. I want the numbers.
Well, I'm sure they'll give you the numbers.
I want the numbers. That's bull. Bull.
All right, here's the thing. I can understand, being a businessman myself now, that ratings do rule this. But here's the question that I wish I should have asked. And I wasn't scared to ask it. I just didn't think anybody would really care. But the more I think about it, I'm getting a little incensed by this. Here's my argument here. You've got Harrah's, probably the best-known casino brand in the world, right?
Uh-huh.
You got the World Series of Poker, hands down the best poker brand in the world.
Uh-huh.
And ESPN, arguably the best poker programmer in the world, right? Shouldn't that, they have some kind of responsibility to the poker community to try to change the rating,
yes,
and not just respond to the ratings.
Hallelujah!
And put some of these games on there and really try to educate the poker community. And here's the thing. They've got a great, great formula for their broadcast. I really like how they set them up. But maybe they break from that great structure and maybe have somebody like Robert Williamson III come on during Omaha and actually teach us how to play the game,
yep,
instead of that little 15-second Lon McCarron thing.
Yep.
And then maybe people will find out how cool it is to watch these games.
Yep.
Just a duck and run.
So you're saying that even though it's the entertainment and sports programming network, it should be the education.
There we go.
Sports,
yes,
programming network, because they should be teaching us how to play the games, how to make poker grander, bigger, invite more people, get more players, and spread the wealth, and then they'll be better off for it down the road anyway.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I wouldn't say this to, like, the Heartland Poker Tour. I mean, they can put no limit hold 'em all they want, and those great, you know, Midwestern casinos. I mean, but we're talking about Harrah's, WSOP, ESPN.
Yep.
These are the big boys, and they owe it to the poker community to act like the big boys.
Yes.
So the fact that there will not be anything but no limit poker on this year's broadcast, more than 30 hours, is ridiculous and an abomination.
I totally agree.
Whew.
And I ripped them a little bit into my TV column, too, so I'll have a little fun with that next month. But it's unbelievable that they're sticking to this No Limit Hold'em crap. And I agree with you. I think they do have an obligation to not only show us other things, but teach us about them and make us better poker players, because they are basically poker. And that's what they need to do. And I agree with you 100%.
All right, after we've ended there, we should probably tell people what actually they are going to see on TV if they choose to tune in, which I will not.
Is it No Limit Hold'em?
Here's the thing. They're going to have 6 hours of bracelet event coverage, and that's what they said. But actually, it's not, because one of the three events that they'll be covering is the Ante Up for Africa charity event, which is not a bracelet event.
No.
But, you know, kind of cool. The other two events will be the Champions Invitational, which
is not
about
a bracelet event.
And that's true. That's two of them.
You only get the Binion's Cup. That
very
wouldn't be
good.
Fair. That wouldn't be fair to only offer
nice
a bracelet to 27
play
people. So
nice play.
Maybe this is an addition to it. Maybe we're not understanding it properly.
No. That's what they said.
Okay.
And the $40,000 event. Those will be the only three things besides the main event that you will see on the air this year. And, of course, those are all No Limit.
Oh, my God. So none of them are bracelets except for the $40,000 one.
Yep. One out
so
of
we're
three
seeing one bracelet event?
Yep.
Oh, this can't be good. This can't be right. Is that right?
We should also pause to say that this is tentative. They seem to still be working it out, but they also seem pretty confident that this was going to be.
Oh, that's... Who cares about Ante Up for Africa? I mean, I care about the tournament, and I care about what they're doing with the money.
All right, here's the thing. I don't want to come down off of my extreme displeasure at this, but, people like to see charities or celebrities play. They get a lot of celebrities for the Ante Up for Africa's Don Cheadle and Annie Duke kind of charity. The Champions Invitational will be might nice to see all the old folks back. I'll give them that. And the $40,000, I think Pollock's right. You're not going to get...
you're not going to get Joe Schmo playing that.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's probably going to be a good final table. So I'll give them that.
But 24 hours of main event coverage, which is what we're getting to next, that's what's making me nauseous, because that's what's taken away from the other events. Basically a full day of coverage of the main event.
Right.
That's ridiculous. It's too much.
And, you know, here's the thing. They're the one broadcast, I think, where you can actually not see contrived final table all-in play.
Right.
I mean, because they at least give you some play, some coverage of stuff early in the tournament. But we don't need 24 hours of
no,
it.
No, and most of it, if you remember correctly, too, when you watch these things, most of it, because I know you don't watch anymore, most of this is, oh, let's go out to an outer table and see Jason Alexander get all in. All right, let's go out to an outer table and see Michael the Grinder Mizrachi. He's all in with pocket aces. So you're not even seeing it. You're showing up and the hands are already there and done. And then they come back to the main event table or the feature table and you see it for like, a couple of hands. And then you go, let's go out to the outside again. And you do that for 24 hours. And you're not getting any kind of satisfaction for 24 hours. The only satisfaction you're going to get is the delayed final table. And 24 hours of not knowing a winner is a lot of to ask of people to watch poker, I think.
Yeah. Now, of course, they'll be doing 2 to 2.5 hours of same-day final table coverage. Again, the structure this year is they'll bring the final table back, then they'll stop and bring the heads-up players back, and they will be showing it on same day. So it's going to be a little quicker this year than it was last year. So that's about the only props I'm going to give you.
And, of course, they're going to have some video like they did last year available on ESPN 360, iTunes, Video On Demand, Xbox, whatever.
Yeah.
All that stuff's going to be out there.
Things.
So that's good if you want to see some other stuff that way. But really, overall, the television is disappointing this year.
All right, and then we'll wrap up really quick with a couple extras. They're going to do a bracelet ceremony every day at 2 p.m. So if you win your bracelet at 3 a.m. and no one's there to see it, they'll bring you back.
Like the Olympics.
Exactly. They'll bring you back at 2 p.m. and they'll have a whole big ceremony. So that's pretty cool. Fans, all of us are going to be available to vote online for Poker Hall of Fame nominations this year. It's the 30th anniversary of the Poker Hall of Fame, so you'll be able to log on at some point pretty soon and nominate, and then the committee will take that into consideration.
Ask the Antioch Nation, Scott, to vote for you. You're so popular
with
them.
Yeah, that's true.
Ask them to flood it.
I will get the Chicago vote.
All right.
this year, they'll be expanded 306 tables at the Rio.
That's huge.
Dedicated to the
most
World
ever.
Series. It is the most ever. They're going to have 48 for satellites, and it sounded like they have two cash game tables, but I think they added up to about 70 cash game tables. Of course, it all depends on what the tournament's going on.
Right, right.
Every night, they're going to have $300 and $200 tournaments that seemed pretty popular last year. Actually, the $300, I think, is like $340. I think, again, I misspoke. But those will be going every night. The Gaming Life Expo, as we said before, has been renamed to Pokerpalooza.
Right, we knew that.
That'll be going on that first week, so check out that. And then, of course, we'll finish with what I think was the best line of the entire conference call, and I will set it up, and then we'll end it with Jeffrey Pollock's great clip. For folks that are suffering with, like me, through the Celebrity Apprentice, Joan Rivers went off on one of her tantrums this week because her little daughter got fired and just laid into Andy Duke, who this week did absolutely nothing to deserve it.
Yeah.
And then she went on to say that all poker players, all of them, Chris, all of us, you, me, and Annie, and everybody else, and everybody listening to the podcast, are trash.
Trash. And she says we all have one name, like Cher.
Yeah.
That we don't have last names, she said. We're been with those people
all
for years.
Trash. So I'm done with that 75-year-old Benihana, whatever woman.
Not to mention, too, that she basically just sits there and sucks up and kisses ass to every Hollywood phony on the planet. Talk about trash. Guys taking drugs and cheating on their wives and dumping them and impregnating other people. And yeah, poker players are the worst players in the world. All right, well, here's what Jeffrey Pollock had to say about her.
We would love to see a woman win the main event. And unless that woman happens to be Joan Rivers.
Yeah, that's right. I went down, you know, of course, she's going to be smart enough that she's going to get her PR people on there, and I bet you she shows up in place.
You know what? It wouldn't even bother her anyway, though, because she had so many facelifts, her ears are covered. She can't hear anything. So it doesn't matter. All right, so that's everything from the press conference. We hope you enjoyed it. And now we're going to move on to our Hand of the Week.
This is Joe Seabock, and you're listening to Annie Up.
We got a heads up No Limit tournament hand this week.
It was our good friend, too.
Yep. Scott, the good old nephew of Martha Frankel. You missed her when she was on the show. That's when you were getting cut up.
Yep.
And, you know, I can't come in. I had surgery. So fast, we had to come on. And we had a really great interview with Martha Frankel and her hats and eyeglasses.
But Scott and I always end up being at the same table in Apes. He was at my table last night. He was at my table the night before. We were always like, dude, why are we at each other's tables? And his answer was basically, we're just unlucky.
Yes, you know? Very true.
But yeah, he was at my table doing really well. He may have even won a seat last night, but let's move on.
All right, so he's playing a $20 heads-up tournament on PokerStars.com. And he doesn't have a lot of information on his opponent, but he says he senses his player is fairly aggressive. And he's got a little bit of information to back that up.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to assume that he's right and that his opponent is fairly aggressive.
Let's do it.
He is on the button, and the villain is on the button, puts in a min raise, and Scott looks down at ace-queen.
Okay. What are the blinds and stuff? Do we know what stack sizes are and everything?
Let's see. It's a min raise at 40, so it's probably 20-40, right?
Okay. So he made it 80. Or 20-40, so he made it 40 to go.
I'm guessing.
And we already have 20 involved. Yeah, I'm going to raise it here. And I'm going to raise it like 5x, too, because when you're out of position, you want to take a hand down if you can at this point. And if not, you're going to be out of position the rest of the hand. I'm going to make a 5X and see what he does.
Particularly against a aggressive player.
Aggressive player, because he could be doing anything, 9, 10, 6, 8, who knows what he has. Right. So I'm going to re-raise it about 5X and try to take it down now because I'm not going to have position. And then if I hit the flop, cool. If not, I'll still put out a C-bet.
Okay, our hero re-raises to 160.
That's about 4X. That's about right.
Yep. And the villain, of course, is going to call. We don't get a lot of people
folding. If he folds, it wouldn't be end of the week.
Right. Flop comes ace of spades, 6 of hearts, 5 of hearts. So we have top, second, top.
Yeah, do we have a heart in our hand?
Is that a new term?
Top, second, top. Do we have a heart in our hand?
It does not say.
Yeah, so
we
probably don't.
We're just going to have to guess.
We probably don't have a heart. All right, well, we got a heart.
We have a heart
in our chest.
Heart. Yes.
So we're going to make a huge bet here. I think there's at least 320 in the pot. So we're going to bet there's a straight draw and a flush draw possibility here. All kinds of straight draws, actually. So, and you know this guy's aggressive. He can be playing those kind of cards. I'm going to have to make it, 320 in the pot. I'm going to make it like 400, 450. I'm going to bet more in the pot.
You're going to bet more in the pot.
I'm going to bet more in the pot, heads up.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. You know what? I probably wouldn't go that far, but I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
All right.
That's the beauty of the hand of the week. All different ways to play the hand. Not
there
just
is.
One perfect hand.
Heads up. It's a lot of It's a lot more layered here.
I'm going to bet more in the pot and make them think that I'm just trying to steal it now because I don't have an ace.
All right. Now, you're not concerned about making it look like you're desperate to protect your hand, which we are.
Well, I guess so, but at the same time, too, it could look like I'm stealing. Like, I missed a flop, but I bet so much pre-flop with my pocket eights that I'm trying to represent the ace. So I'm going to try to make this guy lay it down now, or make him think that he has to lay it down, and then if he doesn't, then I've got him with ace-queen.
All right, our hero bets out 220 into the pot of 320.
It's only a third of the pot with all those draws. Oh, 220. Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah. Yes, that's about right. It's two-thirds of the pot. I mean exactly. I'm over betting because I want to think I'm bluffing.
Right.
So, but at this point, you can play it any way you want, really. So 2/3 is a good bet.
Okay, the villain calls. All right.
No information there.
No.
Yeah.
Which is great if you're an aggressive player and you're not giving up any information.
Yeah.
Very well played.
Yeah.
All right, the turn is a 9 of hearts, so the flush draw gets there.
And the straight draw gets there.
And the straight draw gets there.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
All right, and we're first to act.
Defensive bet. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, it sounds like the alarms are going off here. You got to make some sort of defensive bet, no? So maybe you, because you never check the turn. Don't check the turn here. So you got to put something out there, see where you are, especially if he only has one heart in his hand and doesn't have a straight yet. So let's see. There's 160, 320, and then you bet 220, so that's 440, so about 800 in the pot. So, I mean, I would probably bet a good 400 here, 500 here.
Okay. Now, in his analysis, he kind of puts his opponent on a weaker ace, he eliminates the 7-8. Because he thinks that his opponent would have re-raised him on the flop.
With the draw.
All right. So our hero decides he wants to take this hand down and shoves, Chris.
I can't fault him for that, but you're only going to get called by a better hand. If the other guy shoves when I only bet 400, I could probably get away from it, depending on our stack size. We don't know that. So, but it's pretty early in the tournament, or in whatever you want to call this heads-up thing. And I don't like that move. I don't think I like that move unless I'm positive what he has. Since you don't have any information on him, he's aggressive. He could have anything.
Yeah.
I don't think I like that move. But that's just me. You know, I'm terrible.
Yeah. Well, again, we're out of position, which is the key, right? Against an aggressive player. I think you want to wait for his time when you are in position against an aggressive player. That's the way to play an aggressive player.
Yeah.
Is not to be in a guessing game. And we are completely in a guessing game because our opponent has played it very well.
What happens?
All right. Well, our hero recognizes that his play was probably not the optimal one to make, that he will only get called by a hand that hasn't beat, as you said. He did not spend enough time thinking about it, but he did not want to check and be forced to make the crying call, which he said he probably would have had to make, which is an interesting point. Because you don't want to give this hand up
right.
to an aggressive opponent who you know is going to bet, and then you're going to be forced.
Well, if we get called here, all right, if the guy calls us, which I'm assuming he's going to, otherwise we wouldn't know, right? We wouldn't know the hand.
I don't know.
Well, if we get called, it has to be that he has a big heart in his hand and a pair. Because, or he's already got a made hand. But, I mean, if he doesn't have a made hand, like a good hand, if he
that's
calls...
That's what we're hoping to see.
Yeah, we're hoping that he has a draw still with, like, a pair or something.
Right.
That's all I can think of if he calls and doesn't have, like, the nuts. You know, if he's calling with a lesser hand than the nuts that, or a straight, then he's got to have like a pair here with like a draw to a redraw, like to a flush or something. So
that's
all I can think of.
All right. So we put our last 1080 in the pot, of course, and he is instant called.
Instant called? That's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. Right.
That's not good.
It was never good. Right?
No, it doesn't seem good.
Unless he actually pushed the wrong button. That's the only time that instant call was good. The river comes to seven of hearts.
Oh no! That completes like every single draw on the planet.
That's really not good.
That is not good.
All right, and you want to take a guess on the villain here?
Oh, I think he's got a high heart and he got a flush now. That's what I think. I mean, I don't know what his hand was or what the cards are. No idea what the cards are. Could be the ace of hearts in his hand. Could be paint hand. I don't know. Paint heart. I don't know. But it sounds like he's got a high heart in his hand. And made it.
Yeah, I was thinking it'd be something more than that, though.
For it's got to be brutal. But, no, I know, and that's what I'm saying. And maybe he had like ace of hearts, ten of like spades, something, ace ten or something, where he had the ace, but he had the heart too. That's all I can think of. So, brutal.
All right, the villain tables the five of spades.
Oh, there's a spare. Oh, no, don't tell me it's a set.
And the queen of hearts.
The queen of hearts. See, there you go. There's a high heart and a pair. It's like I said earlier. A high heart and a pair. Oh, my God. What the hell? His pair of fives you thought were good? See, that's why the bets I made would have gotten to lay it down. Okay. Well, hey, Scott, you know what, though? I mean, at least you got a couple pots off me last night, so that'll make you feel a little better. And we're going to spin the wheel for you. So I'll spin it because somehow I'm always involved with Scott somehow. So I'll spin his wheel for him. All right.
Hey, very appropriate here for somebody that shoves all in against the villain. You get a wonderful all balls card protector from PokerFaces.tv.
And let me guess, it's all balls. Balls.
Yeah,
it's excellent.
It's like athletic, like, you know, football.
Yeah, football's dumb. That's cool.
Softballs.
Cool, that's cute. Cute name for it.
But Scott, send us your address. We'll get that out. And anybody else that wants to have their hand of the week dissected by Chris's biting criticism, please email it to podcast@antiupmagazine.com.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
I mean, you don't have to kiss me or anything, but just stay close to the mic, right?
How about this?
How about we do this? We put it between us, and then we can just be on either side of it like this.
Yeah, see, now you're thinking.
But then we're like, you know.
I'd rather look at you than kiss
you. You know, it feels like the electric company, and I was like, puh, put. You know what I mean? That's what it looks like when we're doing this, you know? It's literally, all right, here we go.